are so grateful and thankful for you. I thank you for this song as a reminder of the truth that every breath we have is from you, or with you is the fountain of life. And we're thinking that Lord again, and we lift him before you. You are his heavenly Father. As we receive your peace and your healing against all the medical gods, Lord Jesus. And those who need your healing, we lift them before you right now, believing and trusting that you reign. You reign over us. You are sovereign over us. But also, Lord, we are here because we are hungry. Our souls are hungry. We need to hear from you, Lord. We need to hear the food you prepared for us this morning. We just want to say, help us to receive what you have prepared for us. And the words of the Psalm 23 comes to mind when it says, you lay before our table in the presence of our enemy, in the presence of our challenges and circumstances and fear and worry and everything that gets our attention. We are laying a tremendous table before us and saying, please be satisfied. And that is our prayer for all of us today. Including our neighbors and the top of the road and all the saints when they are gathered, worshipping you, singing your praises, and wanting to receive from the spiritual food to nourish our souls. Thank you that you are here with us. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
So let us turn to Luke chapter 16. So that old fashioned saying, let us turn. Let us look at your digital copy of Luke 16. And if someone kindly read from verse 1 to end of 15. Who's happy to read? Yes, please.
Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to deal and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job, the people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtor. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus, and he said to them, You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight.
Amen. I will be barely scratching the surface today, but please go ahead later and look at it. And I pray that the Lord will bring gentle conviction into our hearts, all of us in different ways, in different layers. It's a very well-known parable that can be wrongly interpreted when we do not look at the Word of God as a whole counsel of God, when we separate and we cut and chop the words of God and the truth of God. It is in this parable, obviously, there is the owner, which is the rich man, and there is the manager who's working for him, and there is the giving account moment, which is terrifying. There is also people of this world and people of the light, the similarities between the two groups also. So let us start with the manager. It seems he was dishonest, and he was accused of wasting possessions of his employer. I believe the owner was exercising his right in calling his manager to give account of his management duties. As he's about to lose his job, this is the manager, he shrewdly watched out for himself. And he found a way to use the wealth and the riches of his owner, soon to be his ex-employer, for his benefit, to secure his own immediate future. And for that, the owner, the rich man, commended him for his shrewdness or wisdom, yet the fact the manager was still unfaithful and dishonest. I remember years ago there was a news about a unlegit, is that a word? Not legit company in the news years ago. Yes, it was a fraud. Yeah. It was amazing that how this group of people managed to have a fraud company which are not dealing with real assets, but they are receiving real assets for people. They had a quarter in Spain, so I'm not joking, they said they were enjoying the weather and they living life, wonderful lifestyle, and they were receiving the funds from people here in the UK. I believe it was something like life insurance, something like that. And people gave by thousands. Mm-hmm. And when you see the company there, they had a room as a calling center, they had a map, they had people who working for them, and they get paid, but they know, all of them, that this was not real. They were just receiving money and living a lifestyle. You can say they were shrewd, but not honest. So if you get what I'm saying, it is horrendous. But if we look at verse 8, where Philip said, thank you for that good reading, the Lord Jesus is starting to unpack the parable in regard of the people of light. This morning we were singing, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the hope of the nation. And we know from scripture in John 8 that the Lord Jesus is the light of this world. But we also know from Matthew that Jesus said to his disciples, now you are light of this world. So when the Lord says the people of light, I really believe he is talking about the believers. You and I, we are the people of the light. We are his people. Praise the Lord. And the Lord saying here that the people of this world, sadly, are shrewd more than his people. How? He says, they know how to use worldly wealth and temporal riches to look after themselves for later. He's not commending the way that they're going about it. He's commending how they are taking seriously their next step of life, their future. They are more shrewd in using present time, this present time, to secure the next stage of their life, including retirement. It is not a bad thing to plan, It was commended for shrewdness, but they went about it the wrong way. So in verse 9, if we look at it, the Lord encouraging his disciples, his people, you and I, to use worldly riches today before it disappears, because it will not be there forever. It will disappear, so it is for a purpose, it is for a season, in preparation, not for our retirement, in preparation to give an account later. You see, some people believe that we Christians will not give account to the Lord. We may not be condemned, but we will give an account. Praise the Lord. So, I know this is very obvious, but I'm really wanting to say it, that we are not using our worldly wealth wisely to be saved. We are saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to use every riches wisely because we are saved. Do you get what I'm saying? Because we are children of light, because we are God's family, because we carry his name and we bear his name, so it matters how we live and what we do with our worldly riches. So what is considered worldly riches according to the dictionary of the world? And what is true riches? And how do we deal with them? Do we deal with them differently or the same and why? Briefly, believe me, I'm halfway already. So according to the dictionary, the worldly riches are all the money and assets that exist around the whole world, including government money and personal money, your money, your assets here are included. Just think about it for a moment. You're probably thinking, I don't have a lot. Whatever you have, it is included in the riches of this world. Looking around, I believe we're all rich compared by others. And true riches, you can say something like, are God's spiritual blessing that is poured over us and given to us through Jesus Christ, that have the ability to change us and transform us, how we think and how we live, now and later. So, are we supposed to deal with them differently? Is that what the word says here? I'm looking at these verses and it says in verse 11, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? That means, to me, the Lord Jesus is expecting us to use our worldly wealth, including our spiritual wealth, the same way that we must be good stewards, according to what the Lord is saying here. Actually, the way the Lord is saying is, if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who you will give you your own property, your own. It's almost like the Lord is saying, the worldly wealth is the means to train you to receive the true riches. Do you get what I'm saying? So they are our training ground. Imagine you are wealthy, very wealthy. You are already, but imagine in terms of the world and riches of the world. Imagine you're very wealthy. That is your training ground, the Lord is saying. How to learn to handle them and be good stewards with them for the Lord, because he is the manager. He is the owner of everything. We ought to be good stewards over both. Really. The only warning I see here is in verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The warning is, do not put your heart towards your worldly riches. You need to be good stewards over it, but don't love it. Because when you love it, you will serve it. When you
you serve it, you will not be loving and serving the Lord. Because that will disappear. It has an expiry date. Praise God. So why it is so important for us to be good managers or good stewards? In Romans 14, when St. Paul is answering so many practical questions about faith and food and which day is better, considered more holy than the other, in verse 12 he says something like, so then each of us will be give an account to himself, of himself, to God. So when Christians think, I will never give an account because I'm a Christian, I'm thinking, no, that's not from the Bible. The Bible says we will give an account. The truth is, giving an account for ourselves before God is a very somber and very solemn thought for us. And when I was preparing, I was convicted. And I prayed the Lord convict us because he convicts and those who love. The conclusion is this. If dishonest manager knew how to use wealth of someone else to benefit himself later, how much more we, people of light, ought to take our management duties. It is our duty, it is our honestly, it's expected of us. It's not something, an option for us. It's our duty. How much we take it seriously and learn to be good stewards over both kinds of riches. For you and I know everything we have, including the worldly riches, comes from God. So the question is, which I ask myself, and I put it to you, are we preparing ourselves to give an account? My God. I was trembling because I'm thinking, I understand this parable is about money, but I believe the same principle applies for everything we have, including our health. Are we using it? Are we good stewards? Are we serving? So if I have good health, am I volunteering? Can you see what I'm saying? If I have eyes, am I reading or something else? If I have time, am I wasting it? Looking back when I was speaking about worry, I was thinking, yes, I'm wasting my time worrying instead of reading the Word of God. So, we are supposed to be good stewards because we will give an account. Am I saying this only to condemn you and me? No, not really, because the Lord Jesus, when he gave the parable of the talents in Matthew, we see the glimpse of the desire of God for us, and the desire of God is what? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's joy. So desire of God is for us to learn how to handle the materials we have, the time we have, the assets we have, including your dining table, to your car, to your whatever. How are we using that? Because that is your and my training class. That is what God desires for us. That we will not be embarrassed on that day that we will be an account. And I pray we will take this seriously and ponder upon it. And maybe ponder upon what spiritual blessing of riches you have received. I was thinking to myself, thinking, I can't count them, they're too many, but I just was grateful to the Lord for the capacity of faith, even for us when we are believing. That capacity of faith is not mine, it's been given to God, from God to me. Isn't that wonderful? For me to be able to say, I am a child of God, it's because he gave me the capacity of faith and belief. not mentioning also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are we good stewards using our gifts, our talents? And when I was looking at myself, thinking, I am so good at giving excuses. I'm nobody. The church is small. We don't have building. Blah blah blah. Yes, it's so easy to find excuses not to do things. And he said, if you are faithful in so, what do you have? Start with that. What do you have? I was thinking of the people, beloved people of this fellowship, and I was looking around and thinking, wow, I look at some and think, wow, they are good stewards, I want to learn from them. Wow, they use their time wisely, I want to learn from them. Wow, they use their talent wonderfully to serve this church, I want to learn from them. And that is the reason I'm sharing this with you, not to condemn you, because that is not what the Lord loves us so much, He warns us ahead of time. That is the main point. And He wants us to be prepared for the day of accountability. Because we, none of us will be hiding that day. We cannot hide. David says in one of the Psalms, where do I run from your spirit? If I am this and if I am that, if I go to the night, it's life for you. If I go to, wherever we go, we will be giving an account. We just pray that we will not waste our days here. I will end up with one verse in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4. And chapter 1, Paul speaks speaking about apostleship and the ministry of apostleship. And he says something like this. This is how one should regard us, servants, servants of Christ and stewards of mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they will be found faithful. Let's pray. Audibly, if you wish, so we can agree and say amen, all in your heart. But the application of this message is different from person to person, according to our life details. But the truth is, we are going to be accountable, and the Lord expects us to be faithful servants. You alone are worthy. So please, come Holy Spirit and help us to do this. In Jesus' name.